Well, we are finally back to the point of parenting, as you can tell. And we had a bit of time because of my computer meltdown from the last time I preached. But where we left off was midway through my exposition on what it means to teach your children to honor you. And I pointed out to you that in Ephesians 6, it says the command to the parents, or the children rather, is to honor your parents. You're to honor your mother and father. And from there, I began to just simply make this point, and that is that one of the key things your job is as a parent is to teach your children what it looks like and what it means to honor, to show respect. And I also made this point because some stumble over this when I talk about all of these various spheres of respect that we're called to have. They say, well, but Pastor Matt, it only says that we are to honor our mother and fathers. It doesn't say about these other things in that text. And I want to remind you what I said the last time I preached on this subject, and that is that whatever your child does always reflects on you. Always. Every time. And so when they act in a dishonorable manner, they dishonor you. In the same way that we, as people who claim the name of Jesus Christ, who name God as our one true God, the only God, when we act in a dishonorable manner, we dishonor his name. And so it's important for you to understand that as you raise your children and as you point your children in the way they ought to go, as you enforce that through discipline and instruction, that what you're doing is you're teaching them that to look at their life and look at their world and learn how to live in it in a respectful, honorable manner. That's a challenge. That's a huge subject, and that's why we're taking 2 weeks to deal with this idea of respect. Now, I defined respect as simply this. It's the attitude of having consideration and high regard for another person. This attitude shows itself outwardly through actions of obedience and overt concern regarding the other person and anything related to him. So you can see that with that definition, it becomes very broad and becomes very other person oriented. And that's very important for you to understand. The desire of a person's heart who is respectful is to show honor to the other person. So true respect will also carry a sense of fear, of reverence, if you will, but a sense of fear toward the person. Now, that's most commonly seen in our relationship with God. We are called to fear our Lord, and it does mean fear. It does not mean just simply have some awe of him, but we are to recognize who he is and what he is, and in that, as we understand him to be who he is, there should be that element of fear. It is proper and healthy to have your children have a sense of fear about you. Now, it's not one of dread, not one of terror, but it is right and proper if you as a father or a mother, when you watch your children do some act of open disobedience, high rebellion, and we've all seen that, we all did it when we were children, there will be that moment, I know my children all know my look, that, and it's a look that they have gone over the line and they better get on the other side of that line really, really, really fast. And I watched the look come over their face as when they were younger, when I said, excuse me? And they were shifting so fast to get backward and into the safe zone because they feared me. They understood that I was their father and I would not take that kind of a comment or that kind of an action sitting down and casually. In my introduction, I gave three principles to live by regarding the training of your children in respect. I want to remind you of them. First, you must have this virtue within your own life. You will never teach your children to be a respectful person, an honorable person, if you are a dishonorable man or woman. If you are not able to grasp that most basic part, then you will stumble right out of the gate. So if you are not one given to showing respect, cultivate that now in your life. Second, do not assume that they will just develop it on their own. They won't. If you do not train them up to your higher standards, please believe me on this. If you do not train them up to your higher standards, somebody else will. They will train them to their standard. Somebody is speaking into your children's life every single moment. And the only question is, what is the voice that's loudest? What is the voice that's most persuasive? What is the voice that keeps interrupting the bad and incorrect and sinful, counterproductive type of voices that they're hearing in every aspect of their life? And then lastly, use everyday occurrences to illustrate both positively and negatively the concept of true respect. Never let a good illustration go by without mentioning it. All around you, you see that. You'll see people acting in a disrespectful manner. And it's played out right before your eyes and your children's eyes. And those are teachable moments when you can talk to them in the car or pull them aside and speak to them. Do you see what he did? Do you see how they spoke? Do you see what's wrong with that? And ask them questions and begin to show them, this is what disrespect looks like. Did you notice how you were hurt by that? Did you notice how that angered you because they treated you like you were something to be flicked off the shoulder? In the same way, when you see someone act in an honorable way, there was a little video going on recently about, I can't remember the guy's name, so doesn't matter, two professional tennis players, a guy served, it was called out, and the guy who received the call in his favor actually called across the net and said, you should challenge that. And the other guy was like, what? He's like, no, really, it was in, challenge it. And as a result, it was found that the ball was in and the point was awarded to the other guy. That's actually acting in an honorable manner. That stands out, that he actually was willing to do something like that. He ultimately even lost the entire match. That goes against many people's thoughts of right and wrong and how to function. Many people would smile and say, oh, I got by with it. Acting in an honorable manner, acting in a respectful manner, has a way of showing itself in so many ways in your life. And I just say, look for those opportunities and speak to them to your children. Now, with that, we then started with the various spheres of respect that God in his word tells us we are to show. And of course, the very first one is the biggest one. And from that, everything else is going to flow. And that was God himself. We are called to honor our Lord. We are to honor his name, his reputation. We are to do all things in his name, and therefore we are to do them all well. And we are to be constantly aware that what we are doing as a Christian in our society is we are reflecting him and his reputation. Which is, again, why I spoke to you about the nature of Facebook and other types of social media and what you're involved in or not involved in and what you think you should post or not post. All of those reflect, whether you want it to or not, reflect the reputation and name of your Lord. Second, obviously we're talking about parenting, and the overt command in Ephesians 6 is to honor your mother and your father. So the next area that you teach your children to show respect is mom and dad. The home is never to be a child-centered home. The home is always going to be centered around God, and the premier relationship aside from God in that home is always the mother and father, always. Long after the children move out, and they will move out, you will still be there. And we would tell that to our kids. There were times where they were pushing their luck really, really big, and they were trying to play mom and me against each other. And I would sit them down, and I would say almost that word for it. I said, look, you're fighting a fight that you're not going to win. You will never win this fight, and you will always lose in an ugly manner. So you need to stop. You need to understand that before you were ever anything, I was committed to your mom. And that long after you leave this home, I will still have my wife. That is my relationship, and you will not ever try to come between us. Do you understand me? And then we'll go from there. And these are the kinds of talks that we would have, and these are the kind of talks that you would want to have in your home as you see the various ways that your kids, again, just like you used to, how your kids will work out their own thoughts. The third thing that I talked about then was church leaders. That the scripture overtly says that we are to honor and respect and submit and obey our leaders in the church. And so that's another huge area that as you bring up your children in the church. Again, I was in my mother's womb going to church. I have no memory at any point in my life in which church was not central to my existence. But one of the things, my father was an elder, and one of the things that was put into you is that your elders were to be respected and honored. You looked at them with a sense of awe. They were not just your buddy. They were not somebody you just treated lightly. You called them sir. And when they spoke, you listened carefully. And so this is, again, something you want to put into your own children so that they can look at their leaders in the church and they can enjoy them. We can be friendly with them, but that they always understand these are your leaders and you reflect that in your own life. How you, in other words, conduct yourself after a sermon or when you're talking about things going on in the church has a huge impact on how your children will perceive their leaders. Now, with that in mind, I want to have you look in Matthew 23 just briefly at one verse. And I want you to see this verse in light of this idea that many people start to think when I talk about parenting. It has been said to me more times than I can remember. It seems like what you're doing is you're trying to raise a bunch of Pharisees. You're being legalistic, Pastor Matt. These things are all external. You're just talking about all this stuff. But what really matters is the heart, and we need to work on the heart, and grace ought to abound in our parenting, and all of those types of things. And it's this idea that if you're going to be strict in your home and you're going to have standards in your home, then somehow grace can't be in your home. And it's a false dichotomy, and it's a false argument, but it's a common one when people don't want to actually enforce what the scripture calls them to be as mom and dad. It's a lot easier to stay on the couch when your child is being disrespectful or disobedient and not deal with it. It's a lot easier, isn't it, until they get big. And then it becomes a heartache. But it is a temptation, and we can rationalize that away in so many different ways. And I just want you to see something in Matthew 23. Verse 23, with regard to the Pharisees themselves and our Lord Jesus. He says to the scribes and the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, why are they hypocrites? Notice the for. And when we see the word for at the beginning of a sentence, we are to think what? For this reason. For this reason, you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, which are justice and mercy and faithfulness. Now, we can stop right there and say, see, he doesn't want you worrying about the tithing of the mint and dill and cumin, these little tiny seeds. No. Jesus is not a legalist. Jesus is not about that kind of stuff. He wants us to abound in faithfulness and love. These are the things that we ought to be doing. But I want you to notice what he then ends with. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. In other words, he's like, look, your problem, what makes you bad, what makes you evil, is not that you're keeping certain aspects of the law. That's right for you to do. But that you're neglecting the more heavier, weightier things. And it's the same way with you with your parenting. And if your kids ever learn to try to play that against you, well, where's the grace, Dad? I just don't feel like you're showing me enough grace. I won't tell you how that would happen in our home. But they could try that. Or you'll have a friend who feels like you're just being too hard on your children. And they'll talk to you about that and it will come up. It is right for you to say, look, in our home, there is grace. In our home, there is love. In our home, there are these other weightier issues. But that does not mean that we teach our children to neglect the smaller things, like cleaning up the room when they're told to clean up the room, being found with their faithful with their chores, by speaking the truth, by not ripping the Barbie doll head off of sister's Barbie doll, whatever it might be. Even though these are small things, they all reflect a heart attitude, and we are not to neglect even the small things. Now, with that in mind, we move to the next sphere of authority, and it's something that is hugely important today in our society, and that is in Romans chapter 13, it is the area of authorities, that God has given to us authorities in our life, governing authorities specifically. Notice what Romans 13:1 and following says, let every person be in, and a very strong word here, in subjection to the governing authorities. Then we have the reason why. For this reason, there is no, I want you to notice that, there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by whom? By God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation, such a strong word, condemnation upon themselves. Why? For what reason? For this reason. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. In other words, the rulers exist, and you should be afraid of them if you're doing evil behavior. But when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, there is no cause for fear. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. Notice how he doesn't mince words with these. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. This speaks of its authority and God-given right to execute you, to kill you. Why does it not bear the sword in vain? For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. What you are watching played out on the TV screens and in the news over these last several months with the various rioting and protests, there is an overt war against the police that is going on in our nation. It's a manipulation, all claiming about it, trying to divide it upon racial lines when it's got nothing to do with racial. There is a much deeper, more sinister plot that's going on, and they're just manipulating people who can't think past the end of their nose. That when a police officer shoots and kills somebody, it is not our right, nor is it ever proper for a believer to rise up in protest. We are not ones who resist the governing authorities. This is wrong. It's always wrong. We are not to be the rebels. We are not to be the ones who are fighting and resisting. When you are pulled over by a police officer, you are to be a pleasure for that officer to deal with. And yes, it can be a pleasure to deal with people. In fact, many times you can get by with not getting a ticket because you're one of the people who are pleasurable to be with. When you are a person who shows a disrespectful attitude toward the governing authorities, those who have been given by God the authority, understand that it is God who has given them the authority. You are to model that in every way, in your posture, in your words, in your writing, in your demeanor, in your reactions, in every possible way. Understand that God is the one who has established all authority on earth. I don't think I need to remind you, but it was during the reign of Nero, who was doing evil things to the Christians, burning them alive to light his parties, casting them into the lions. They were mistreated in every way, and Paul says, of that wicked man, he was established by God. And you submit. You submit. I don't care if you like Obama or you dislike Obama. Every time you set and put up another little meme on Facebook that just shows the disrespect, all you do is bring condemnation on your own face, but you also dishonor the name of God. For you are saying God has not established authority. God did not place this man over me. That is the reality. And it is huge for you to learn, and it is also huge for you to teach your children in every way. When you deal with elected officials, you also have a great opportunity. I did something. With your children, you are able to remind them that your hope lies not in the office, but in the Lord who sovereignly put them there. So as we're watching, and I'm watching, more and more people have meltdowns as the impending election comes, and they're like, I don't want Clinton and I don't want Trump. What are we going to do? You know what you're going to do if you're a godly man or woman? When whoever gets elected becomes president, you show them honor. Because God calls you to show them honor. And you're going to reflect that to the children. That doesn't mean that you praise everything they do. You can speak of that which is evil and call it what it is evil. But you do not and cannot be a man or woman of disrespect in the process. The idea of having authority over you is something that almost every human has to deal with. Everybody in this room is in submission to someone. Unless you are a sovereign king somewhere, which you don't really have much nowadays, you have to answer to someone. For the Christian, this authority, whatever it is something that we are to honor. We are to be men and women who are a pleasure to have in our cities and towns. So when you have children and you allow them to talk derogatorily about police, the elected officials, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, supervisors at their little part-time job, or even lifeguards, it's simply wrong. The only question you have to ask when your son or daughter's mouth starts wagging about how da, 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 and you only have to ask this one question in your mind. Are they talking about somebody who has authority over them? Yes. I'm going to rebuke my child. And I will correct them so that they understand that that is not acceptable behavior. Teach them, mom and dad, how to show proper respect and how to show proper honor to these people. Here's a common problem in many homes. This is a little thing, but I'll tell you, you let this little thing go and it becomes a big thing as time goes on. A junior Sunday school teacher tells him that he's being disruptive in class and is not sharing with the other children. She says this in the presence of junior. You say that you will deal with your child, but you don't. Not only do you not, but worse yet, you even begin to defend the child and assume that the teacher is in the wrong. All of this is being watched by your child, learned by your child, and he quickly learns that the Sunday school teacher is not one who is important, nor one worthy of respect. I will tell you this. When I ever had a teacher or Sunday school teacher come to me about one of my children, the next conversation I had with my child was never a pleasant one for any of them. And even if I was not 100% certain that everything was as the teacher said, not that they were lying, but knowing that there's always two sides to the story, it didn't matter. The child was under the authority of somebody else, and that person was in the authority, and therefore they were to do what they were being asked. You know what? It makes for a good employee, doesn't it? Those of you who have to hire people, those of you who have to supervise people, you're not always going to be right on. You're not always going to make the right decisions as the boss. But it's a pleasure when you're not having to fight every step of the way or watch these people because they're just given to disrespect. Teach your children to respect anyone who has authority over them, always. One of the things I told Matt when he was, what I told Matt when he was over the Sunday school was I said, look, make certain that you support the lead teachers in every class. I want you to always be there, that they need you because a parent is not cooperating and the child is being disobedient. I want you to support them. Make certain and let them know that if you can't do it, and the person is still not listening, I want you to make certain I know about it and I will step in and take care of it. And I have had on occasion to sit down with parents and just simply explain to them, look, you don't seem to be getting it. Your child is not handling himself properly in class. This is a reflection on you. You need to address that and you need to resolve it. And if you don't resolve it, then he gets to sit next to you every Sunday. Usually a look of terror comes over their face at that point because they kind of like that little break. But it's something that is serious, and I take that seriously. You as mom and dad should take that very seriously. Let's say you have an older child. It's their very first real job. It's at Wendy's. And she comes home one night complaining that her boss is a quote-unquote jerk. She tells you how her boss shows partiality and makes her do all of the lousy jobs. She talked to her boss about that and was yelled at. And therefore, she's like, I want to quit. What would you say? You know, what would you say? I know my kid wouldn't ever be allowed to quit. Ever. Never were they allowed to leave just because they were bugged. What I taught my children from day one when they got their jobs, all of them will remember this little talk in one way or another. I said, your job is to be the kind of employee that when your boss has a slow day and he has too many employees and he starts thinking about who he needs to send home, that your name doesn't even come up in his brain. That of course they want Nicole still there. If your son, your daughter is one of the first names that come up as to, we can get rid of him today, we don't need him. There's something wrong with your son or daughter and their behavior and their approach toward their boss and their work. And likely it has something to do with the nature of showing respect. Let's just say that he is a jerk. Let's just say that he does show partiality. Let's just say that he does all of those types of things. Give all the lousy job. You know what? This is a great life lesson at a young age about what work really is like. And when you submit to your boss, like Peter commands, even those who are perverse, and you honor him in that way, you honor the name of God. It is so important. Teach your children to show this authority to the authorities. Think about it. Is it right to quit? No, I don't think so. It's not going to be the greatest evil of mankind. But when do they learn to endure? When do they learn not to quit? If the very first job you're allowing them to fail or to walk away because they didn't like it, what's going to happen? I mean, come on, adults. I mean, I look at Greg. You work with your fair share of jerks, I'm sure. I know I have. Do we encourage our children to walk away because they're not happy? That's not building up a child in the way that they ought to go. Are there other options that they have with regard to the boss? These are teaching opportunities. These are opportunities for you to build the idea of respect deeper into the heart of your child. There are Bible passages that you should be able to bring them to. So think about, how would you instruct them? The next area that is rather obvious is that of adults. When your children are around adults, they ought to model respect, always. All adults. In Leviticus, it says this in 19:32, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God, I am Yahweh. It's interesting that he closely links the revering or fearing of God with the rising up and respecting of the elderly. That the elderly are not there for you to endure or to roll your eyes at or to avoid, but they are there for you to show honor. They have lived longer. They have endured more. They have seen more. They've done more. And you as a younger person ought to rise up and show them the honor that is due to them simply because they have gray hair. Because they are getting older. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, it tells us to talk to those who are older with respect. In fact, he tells Timothy, you are to talk to them as if they are your mother or your father. So an older woman that you're speaking to, you don't get snide with, you don't get smart mouthed with. You speak in such a manner that it reflects that you're talking to your mother. Of course, that's assuming that you have been taught to respect your mother, right? And that when you talk to an older man, that you are reflecting that like you would a father. So when you, moms and dad, when you've got your little junior next to you, and Bruce comes by and he says something, and they say something smart out of their mouth, and you just kind of chuckle, you're not doing well with that. He may not say anything, but you are not teaching your child as you ought. You should not be proud of the fact that your child got a good one in on that adult. Now, there are times where everyone's relaxed around and we're teasing and that kind of a thing. And in there, in the context, and that's part of what you're teaching your child, is to recognize the context of what he's in, that there might be time for the teasing and the jesting. But they should be very, very cautious and very, very aware of the fact that there is a line that they can easily cross and that they should never cross it. And if they do, it's your job to get them back across the line. It's very important that you understand that when you talk to an older person, that you are to model that for your little ones. This again gets into how you talk to your pastor and elders, how you deal with those in leadership. That it's so important that your children see that you respect these people in charge. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, it says that we are to show honor to the godly widow. In Proverbs 16:31, it says that the gray hair is a crown of glory. And therefore, children ought to be expected to show honor to those who are their elders. Always. If your child goes to school, if your child is sent over to be babysat by somebody, if they have a sleepover, whatever it might be, when you go and you get your child and you are talking to the parents, what you should be looking for and listening for was, your son is such a joy to have. He's so respectful. I wish all the kids were that way. That kind of a thing. Where when they are around other people, they instinctively understand that they are to show respect to them. Now, how do you do that? What are some ways that you can do it? Now, again, you can't make a child's heart glory in respect, but you can still say, look, whether you like it or not, you are called to show that respect and you are to do it. And so that means starting from day one, you're working this with your children. A simple one. And it was one that actually when we first came, we actually had to have some fights over. And we did make a small compromise because I wanted to be called Pastor Henry or Pastor Matt or Mr. Henry. And I wanted the children to call my wife Mrs. Henry. And in our church, I was told, we don't do that. And I'm like, I do. And I was told, we don't. We finally compromised that they could call my wife Miss Kim, which I'm like, okay, that makes no sense, but sure, Miss Kim. As long as they're speaking properly and respectfully, Miss Kim, I'll give it to you. I had bigger fish to fry, so I gave on that. But I expected my children to speak to the adults respectfully. I'm sure they weren't always. But it's a simple way to teach your child. When they talk to an adult, it's Mr. and Mrs. and Miss. In addition, I would strongly encourage you in your home to have the child learn that when they are talking to mom and dad and they are given an instruction, that they respond in a simple way of saying, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And it's not hard to teach them that. Not hard at all if you'll teach them. I had a couple adults, more than a couple, early on when I was talking about this. They're like, well, we consider if somebody was to say yes, sir, to me, I work for a living. I would consider that a cut down. I'm like, I told them, then you have a twisted understanding of what yes, sir, and yes, ma'am mean. And you need to change your thinking about that. You should not be wanting that young person to have that level of familiarity with you. They are a child and you're an adult and you need to teach them to understand that there is a difference between a child and an adult and that they are to respect you. Now, let me say this because there's always people who stumble over this. I have never understood yet to this day why they stumble over it, but they do. And they just don't like this idea of yes, ma'am, yes, sir, ma'am, Mrs. If you don't want to do it, I mean, I can't make you. I've got no Bible verse that says, thou shalt teach your children this. But what I want you to ask yourself is this. When you go home and your wife or you and your husband are talking, and, well, I just think that's kind of over the top. I don't think we should do it. That's fine. But if you choose not to do it, then all I ask you is this. Talk to one another and explain to each other why you don't think that. Why what you choose is a manner that shows respect. I can tell you this, you can almost never get in trouble when you look at a man and say, yes, sir, or sir, if you don't mind. Pat, I'm still assuming that in the courts you always refer to the judge as your honor, right? Yeah, that would be a big no-no, right? Yes, yeah, they're judge or your honor, and that's it. And I know when I was an officer, boy, it was always fun when you get the young guy and you gave him the ticket. And now you're showing up because he's going to fight it because this is a great travesty of justice against him and blah, blah, blah. And he's up there and he starts yammering away at the judge. And I'm just looking. I'm like, it's coming. And then the judge puts him in his place. And it's like, I don't care unless I totally messed up that ticket, which I didn't. That guy is going to get the fullest judgment against him simply because he doesn't yet understand how to approach a judge. He cannot understand that he has to respect the position. And that I've had others where the person was so respectful, they were still wrong and they're going to not win this, but they were respectful. And I watched the same judge turn around and give an incredibly gracious response simply because they enjoyed the fact that this person understood respect. You will never, your children will never get in trouble when they look at their boss and get told, hey, Joe, take the trash out. Yes, sir. You will never get yelled at for that. It's just simple way to begin to teach the child instinctively to speak in a respectful manner. Here's another way in which you allow your child to show disrespect to adults, and that's in the way of interruptions. Now, we've talked about this, and we have taught so many of you this just personally, that we see it being practiced, and if you only could know how much of a delight it is when my wife and I see so many of you parents putting this into practice. A child is not to be disrespecting the adults in a conversation by simply butting in whenever they feel like it. Now, this takes training, but a simple way that you can teach them to do it properly in a respectful manner is by simply putting their hand on your arm or your leg to indicate that they'd like to talk, they want to tell you something, and then you give them permission to talk. Now, I saw this done by this guy named Tony Iannuzzi, big old tough guy, and he had three boys who were all boys. They never stopped. I don't think they understood the idea of walking. It was run for all moments of their life. And they were over at our house, and they're all playing and playing. And one of their sons, I was, you know me, I'm a talker, and I can tell a story, and it can go on forever, right? Well, I was just starting into one of my stories, and I saw his son walk up to him and put his hand on his arm. And so I realized he wanted to say something. And so I stopped in the middle of the sentence, and Tony says, no, go ahead. I said, well, your son wants you. I know. Go ahead. It's a long story. He can wait. I'm confused at this point. I'm like, I mean, it's a long story. And he's like, and he will wait. So I told the story. Kid just sat there. He was relaxed. You could tell he was daydreaming, but he just sat there with his hand on his dad. I finished. He's like, We made appropriate comments, and he says, yes, son. And he asked some little question. Well, can we do, I think it was like, can we go in the backyard and play? He's like, yeah, sure. And off he went. I'm like, dude, what did you just do? And he's like, our children aren't allowed to interrupt us. That's disrespectful. You're an adult. He needs to wait his turn. And he was in the process of teaching his kid that. That's why he made him endure my long story. And all I'm saying is that's what you do as a parent. When they're little and they come up to you and they're two, three, and they're just, oh, they got to tell you about the fuzzy caterpillar, and it's the most exciting moment of their life, and they just got to tell you and just got to tell you, and they interrupt. You don't have to blow your top, but you can say, don't interrupt. What are you supposed to do? Oh, put the hand on. Make them wait a couple of seconds and then say yes. And as time goes on, you can make them wait the length of a Matt Henry story. Whatever you think is appropriate, but teach them that their job is not to just insert themselves into these conversations. This came home to me many times where I would be at a person's house. They called me, and this is back in the early days where my days generally were up to 12, 13 hours every single day that I would work. And I worked that 7 days a week, and I was being asked frequently by people, would you come over to my house? I need to get some counsel. And because of the way the shifts worked with many of the people, I was going to their house at some strange times. But I would go over to their house. I would be asked in. I'd be sitting there, and I'd start to hear what's the issue. And then they would say to their kids, look, I'm talking to Pastor. You guys need to leave me alone. And the kids would come in time after time after time and interrupt. And I'd listen to the father time and time and time again, allow the interruption, and also say, look, I can't have you interrupting. You need to go in the other room. And what could have been done in 15, 20 minutes sometimes took 2-3 hours because of the constant interruptions. And what struck me was, first of all, the children never believed their father was serious because their father clearly was not going to enforce what he said. They knew full well that they could come in and interrupt anytime they wanted. And at the most they were going to get was, you need to not interrupt. I'm like, they just did. For the 10th time. For the same thing. I'm thinking, why have they not been disciplined? And that begins to then open my eyes that in this home, the parents had not yet learned what it means to train their children. So it's a simple thing, but it is an important idea. When our children would interrupt, we would explain to them that they have shown disrespect to us and the other person. And it was always awkward. So I'm talking to Bruce, and Maddie comes running in from outside to tell me all about his latest adventure and blurts it out. And I say, Maddie, stop. You interrupted. Oh, yeah. No, not, oh, yeah. What do you need to do? Yeah, please forgive me. And he'd say that to me. I said, who else? And he'd say it to Bruce as well. Bruce was always uncomfortable. All of it. You always feel weird. It's not a big deal. And so you're like, oh, it's not. No, don't worry about it. And I would always then correct Bruce. And I would say, no, it is a big deal. He needs to learn not to interrupt. So would you please forgive him? Oh, yeah, he's forgiven. All right, now what do you want, buddy? And then send him off. But I always wanting him that this man's time is valuable. And this man's time is being given to me. And you are to show the respect that this man is due. Other ways that you can apply just modeling a spirit of respect, that your children should wait for the adults to be served during meals. Now, I understand, and believe me, there's a time when that's dumb. It's better just to get the kids seated and their mouths full, right? Just so that you can finally maybe enjoy your meal. But when they're served themselves and you have a potluck and they're busting to get up into the front of the line, and then there's that big bowl of mac and cheese and they've already got half the bowl on their plate, you need to teach them that that's disrespectful. There's a whole line of other people who might like mac and cheese, so put that back and just take a small amount, and if there's some afterward, you can go get seconds. But no, your job is not that. Just showing that kind of respect. The other idea, a simple way that you can do it is when you have an older child, especially an older son, 10 years old on up, and there's adults coming, have them open the door for them and hold it. It should never be that I step out, and I'm not here to yell at any of you. I don't think badly of you, so if you know I've done this recently and it was to you, I thought nothing of it, okay? But I always find it interesting when I walk and I see a family heading up toward the door and I go and open the door and the kids just walk right on by like I'm invisible. I'm like, dude, I just opened the door for you. I'm your pastor. Why didn't you take the door from me? It's a simple thing. Dads and moms, I'm not talking about the little guys who the door then shuts on. Okay, I mean, I've seen that. That's kind of humorous, but, you know, come on. But I am saying that if you have older children and an adult opens the door for them, tell your child, take the door from him and hold it. And then thank him. It's the idea that you're looking for every possible way that you can to show them respect. The next step would be talking to the peers. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 3, Paul, telling the church at Philippi, these simple words, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." And therefore, we're not to look out only for our personal interests, but also the interests of others. Then his whole illustration of what that looked like in its most ultimate sense was our Lord Jesus himself, that though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. That our Lord did not look after his own interests, but he looked after your interests to the point that he died an innocent death for your sin. So when you look at your children and you talk to them, go ahead and turn to First Peter while I'm speaking, and you see them interacting with their peers, one another, in other words, you want them to learn that their job is not to exploit the others, but they are to look after the interests of the others, not just their own. Again, illustration of the tennis player. It was in his own best interest to be happy that the judge got a bad call. But looking after the interests of others, he encouraged his opponent to challenge the call. It's a simple idea. In a dog-eat-dog world, you are always looking for the advantage and how you can take that advantage. As a Christian, you should not be looking at it that way. You should be looking after one another and showing them that honor and respect. In chapter 2, verse 17 of 1 Peter, honor all men. And it says other things, but right there is the key part. Respect all people, in other words. They are to be showing the respect to one another. That means that you have to teach your older children to learn to play with the younger ones. They're not to be avoiding the little ones. That they are all to be learning to interact with each other and showing the respect. And in the home, that they're supposed to respect one another. So if you have two children, teaching them to show the honor and respect to one another. In chapter 5, verse 5 of the same book, it says, "You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders." And then he says, "And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." I taught you in the past that the literal translation of that is to tie on the apron of a slave. That you are to look at yourself, when you look at all other people, you are to look at yourself as their servant. Now, I ask you, do you see yourself that way? And secondly, are you teaching your children that way? What comes out of their mouth and how they handle themselves in the presence of others is simply a reflection on what mom and dad are showing them, modeling, and teaching them from their own mouth. And then enforcing. It's so important for you to teach your children to show honor to their peers. So you teach them then to have a sensitivity regarding other children, to be aware of things beyond their own presence. You know, the kid who so up and locked, and I had one. I loved her, but hold. You know, just her own little world. And it's like, girl, don't just stop in the middle of an aisle. There's other people. As people are like killing themselves to avoid this child who's just randomly stopped. Now, I know she wasn't meaning it disrespectful. She had no intent. She's just in her own little world and went to a happy place. But it was my job to teach her to control that and not just randomly stop because she wanted to go to her happy place. That there's other people involved in this. Too often we seldom give any attention to how our children interact with others. And as a result, we see fights and arguments, blatant disregard for the feelings of others. The summertime is a great time for you to practice this because the children are not in school, right? And so the children are rubbing shoulders with one another a lot more. Now you can look and pray, oh Lord, bring the summer to an end. Or you can see this as an awesome opportunity to watch your children interact and see how they react to one another and how they react and when they're not doing well so that you might instruct them and train them. teach your children, in other words, to respect children and their things. And one aspect of showing that respect is simply sharing, knowing that the other child will want to play as well. Gossiping and backbiting is a way to show no respect. When you're sitting around a dinner table and they start bringing up this or that about so-and-so, you need to bring that to a halt. Why are they even telling you? Why do they need to? What's the demeanor and purpose and attitude behind this? How are they reflecting respect? Then the last thing that I want to talk about is something that sounds strange perhaps, but it's dominion and creation. This is a very, very important area that needs to be developed in your children. It refers to anything that is the responsibility of another person or persons, whether it's physical or non-physical. But usually it's in the non-physical area. When I talk about dominion, an example of that in the physical realm would be trespassing on another person's property that's fenced off, simply to use it as a shortcut without permission. This applies to touching other people's property as well. They have dominion over those things. That's their property. Those are their things. And when your child treats those things casually or as if they belong to him, they are in fact showing a disrespectful attitude. A sidewalk exists so that they stay off of people's properties. Examples of dominion in the non-physical realm would be time. All of us have been given an allotted amount of time every day to accomplish duties. And children have the great ability of blowing it all away simply through a lack of discipline or a lack of respect for other people's time. You should teach your children to honor other people's time rather than intrude upon it. I went to an elder. I needed him to sign some important documents for the church, and I had to go and to his place of business. He was the president of Nestle Incorporated for the worldwide distribution. He was a very busy man, a very important man, and a very godly man as well. And I went over to his place. I get brought up to the top floor, and there's this massive office, and he's in there, and there's this big meeting going on. He knew I was coming. I just needed the signature, and he knew that. And he comes out, and I know I'm looking. Well, he's, first of all, the chairman of the board of elders, so I had that level of respect. But he was also the president of this company, and I'm interrupting his time. I was very much aware that I was an intruder. What shocked me was how gracious he was to me, though, that he said, well, just sit. And I'm like, you're doing a meeting. I just need you to sign this. He's like, relax. Well, I'm not going to relax, but I'll sit. And so I sat, and I'm like trying to get him to sign the papers. I'll get out of your hair. And he's like, so how are you doing? I'm like, fine. He finally says, relax, Matt, I'm the boss. I'm like, oh, that's true. Who's going to yell at him? But what really struck me was I on my end was very aware that I was intruding on his time. And it was not my right to take that time, but it was his freedom to give me that time if he chose. Do you see the difference in teaching your children to see that difference? If I sit down with your child and I play with them and talk to them, that's my privilege to do so with my time. But it's not the privilege of your child to just intrude and take away my time. It's an issue of dominion. Authority is another area. The Bible teaches that we have these spheres of authority that we work within. So that in the church, the realm of authority is the elders. In the society, it's the government. In the home, it's the father. In the workplace, it's the boss. And we're not to usurp their authority. So we never tolerate a complaining because somebody rightly exercised their authority. Mom has a right to tell you no. It's that simple. Why? Why? Because she's mom. She's an authority. It's sweet. And it should be honored. And it should be showing respect for that type of attitude. When you begin to consider this principle of dominion, it will flow into so many aspects of life that you've never considered before. You begin to rethink whether or not Johnny should be picking flowers at the park. Do those flowers exist so that he can pick them, or do they exist in the public park so that everyone can enjoy them? They're not his, and they're not respecting the sphere of authority and dominion to have that exist with the other people. You start to teach your child to stop leaving church bulletins and crayon wrappings in and around the pew, which means you have to learn how to do that. That though we have a guy that cleans the church, that does not mean that you can just disrespect the fact that this building is not yours. And so you teach your children to pick it up and clean it up and throw it away. When you see your child screaming and crying and resisting going to Sunday school, it's simply being disrespectful of the dominion and domain of the teacher. She doesn't exist to endure your child's disobedience. And so you as a parent, it's your responsibility to teach that child, look, you're disrespecting her. She didn't wake up this morning so that you can go do these things. The same goes into creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, we see something that to this day works itself out. And it's tightly connected to that dominion idea. In verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And I want you to notice that in this image making, it's tightly connected to the dominion. "And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." That's that dominion idea. "And rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." In chapter 9, verse 10 of Genesis, after the flood, God made a covenant, remember, with a rainbow. But what many people miss in that passage and in that verse is that he made the covenant not just with mankind, but with the earth and the creatures themselves. God has created the earth for us. There's other passages you can look up on your own, but for time we won't. God has created the earth for us. He has placed us in it, and we are called to be good stewards of our creation. And therefore, your children are to be taught to respect it. Examples of littering, defacing things such as rocks and trees, being destructive just for the sake of being destructive, ripping up a plant for no good reason. The idea of hunting just for the purpose of hunting and leaving the carcass lying there. It's not right. It's not how you subdue and rule rightly over your creation. You can do it, but it's reflecting a heart that doesn't understand its role in respecting. When you destroy something, you destroy it only because it threatens you. So when we lived in California, there was a time that our house had a black widow infestation. And for quite a while, every night, I would go out and kill around 30 of these black widow spiders. Freaked us out. We lost Lydia one day. She was infamous for just disappearing in the house. So what you would have to do is start looking behind furniture. And invariably, you'd find her behind some piece of furniture with about 400 golden books, just happily reading by herself. So we're looking for Lydia one day, and I pull back a chair, and there she is, and surrounding her on either side are two large black widow webs with the black widow sitting right. And we're like, that's the day I went on a hunting spree. And I continued to go on a hunting spree. I had no problem killing those guys. They threatened my house. On the other side, though, I went out skeet shooting with a pastor and his son. And in Idaho, that's just, you just go off into the countryside and start shooting. Well, after we were all done, the son saw a ground squirrel just doing his own thing out in the world, bothering nobody, just doing what God made him to do, and he shot it and then just left it. And I walked away just with a sense of disquiet. It's just a ground squirrel. I know that. But it's like, there is no need to do that. There is no purpose behind that. You're not going to eat it. You're not doing anything. You just killed it just to kill it. And that's not showing a sense of respect. When you have your children understand these fears, when you yourself understand these fears and you begin to think about how you're reflecting this respect, you will raise up a child that is a joy to be with when they're young. And when they start to enter into adulthood, they will be well on their way being able to do well in life and reflect well the name of their mother and their father, and the name, most importantly, of their Lord and Savior. So teach them well on this. Model it. When you choose to be lax on the training of your children, that they can come into another person's home and throw a tantrum and nothing happens, you are well on your way of raising up a child that will bring shame. And all you're really reflecting to those people are, I don't respect you. Disrespect is built into the very heart of every child. It's built into your heart. It's a battle that you will fight every single day. But the fruit of training that in your child to show respect and instinctively see respect and know what it looks like is something that will bear much fruit that you will delight in. And now what I'm planning on doing next, not next week, but the week after, is I'm going to talk about actual disciplining of your children and repentance. And I've got one, maybe two more to go. I want to talk about parenting, how to parent a daughter versus a son, because they're different. So I'm going to talk about that. And then lastly, what do you do with those teenagers? And they're not as bad as you think they are. They're just different, and they're a different stage of life. So I want to talk about how do you transition from being a father or mother of young kids to now teens as they're preparing to step off into the world on their own. But in all of this, remember, if the goal is not to just have a happy little child who's well-adjusted, the purpose I told you from day one is that you're raising up children who should become godly people, people who are trusting in Christ and then reflecting that in their demeanor and actions.